Welcome to Living Life on the Max with Keisha B. Spivey, a weekly podcast that will challenge you and encourage you to live your best life yet. Hello there and welcome to Living Life on the Max. Yes, I'm Keisha Spivey and I'm so excited to be back with you. It's been several weeks since I've been in the studio. And for those who are listening to me and you're not able to see this video, I don't have any makeup, which is different, and I have absolutely no notes. I'm sitting here in front of the camera without a laptop, without a guide. I'm just here. And one of the reasons why I decided to leave all those things at home was so that I could literally come today and be raw, I could be real, I can be relevant, and I can also be uncut. You know, for those who know me, you know, I'm a preach teacher. You know, my husband calls me a preach teacher because I love teaching the word of God with fire and with power. But today I think I'm going to do a little bit more of teach talking. If you've been following this podcast every week, I come and I give you nuggets and I give you tips and I give you things that you need to consider. I give you opportunities to reflect and to be challenged. You know, I also come at you because I think we have to get to a place where we can be corrected. But today, this is going to be a little bit different. This series is going to be me allowing you to peek inside of my heart and to peek inside of my life and to expose me, but to you, so you'll see a little bit of how I think. Where this has come from is that by the time you listen to this podcast, I will officially be Dr. Keisha B. Spivey. You know, just a couple of days ago, I defended my dissertation after a long, hard battle of getting my doctorate. You know, right in the middle of it, I got interrupted with the pandemic and so many things went on halt. You know, I'd say that the world went on coronation, but I just went crazy because I had the projects that I was working on. I was preparing my dissertation, and my dissertation was all about the nonprofit that God had called me to launch. So it was very hard when the world stopped and the way that we do things stopped. But I was expected to continue on because I'd gotten too far in the dissertation process to hit pause. I even asked my mentor, can I come back in a year? Can I come back later? And he says, no, you've come too far. You have to keep moving or you got to start over. So yes, we're on the lip of that. On Friday, I defended that. And on next Thursday, just 9 days from now, I'll get to walk across stage. And I'll officially, by the world standards, be Dr. Keisha B. Spivey. And I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the education and the degrees that I have. But it's awesome to have everyone, you know, congratulating me and telling me good job. But I smile because they don't even know what the process has been. You know, they see the social media post and they hear what's happened, but they don't know my story. I literally had a meltdown with Jesus on Sunday because I began to think back over how I got here. And yes, I've been at Liberty for a few years, you know, compiling this, but this goes back 18 years. 18 years. What a lot of you don't realize is I went from being a college dropout to now Dr. Spivey. And that didn't happen overnight. It was a process. I had a series of decisions that literally carried and created a ripple effect into the next decision, that created a ripple effect into the next decision. And to literally, I have an organization now called Ripple Effects. And my whole mission is to help other people get to a place where they are making ripples and they're changing their lives. See, I don't come to you just with a whole bunch of book knowledge and degrees and certificates, and I'm grateful for those. But they came through a lot of sacrifice. But what I had long before I had those papers that are hanging on the wall is I had a call and I had an anointing, but I almost missed it. I almost missed it. I got to rewind this story a little bit and tell you how we got here. I was 29 years old and it was the eve of my 30th birthday. I had a husband, I had 3 children, and from the looks on the outside, everything was great. You know, we were the happy family. We showed up on Sundays and, you know, we taught Sunday school and we did all the right things. We had family time. You know, at this time, I was a stay-at-home mom. I was a broke stay-at-home mom. We had no money, but I was home with our kids. We decided that that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to, you know, create an environment where our principles and values were what the children had gotten. And we did that. So I was a stay-at-home mom. But something happened. It was the eve of my birthday, and the next day I'd be 30. And I don't know why we have all these thoughts of what your life would look like at 30, but mine didn't look anything like it. I'd been battling depression. I was severely overweight. And I had allowed some trauma from my childhood, life and people, failures and disappointments. I had allowed them to label me. You know, I was a college dropout due to some series of events with my family and some other things that I could control mixed with things that I couldn't control. I dropped out of college. I went to college on a full ride academic scholarship, but I got distracted. Life got hard. Things weren't going like I wanted them to go. I got a ton of responsibility, and here I was being faced with paying bills. And so I didn't just quit. You know, I slowly took less and less classes till a semester. I was going to sit out the semester, and then it became I'm going to sit out the year, and that 1 year became multiple years. And here I was the day before my birthday, and all of a sudden, I began to cry. Those big, ugly tears. You know, when I cry, my nose turns red, my face turns red, and I just begin to cry because deep down inside, I was filled with sorrow. I was filled with sadness. I knew what I wanted my life to look like. I know what I wanted the experience to be. I knew what I wanted to have, and I was so far from having any of that that I had a meltdown. And as the tears began to fall, I started feeling guilty. I felt guilty because here I am. I'm blessed. I have a husband. I'm blessed. I have children. I'm not hungry. I'm blessed. And here I am crying this ugly, wretched cry because my life didn't look like I wanted it to. So then, you know us, as a Christian, I started repenting. You know, I started like, okay, God, I'm out of order. I shouldn't be thinking this way. And all of a sudden, those ugly tears began. God, if this is as good as it'll ever get, I'm still going to praise you. If this is as good as it's ever going to be, I'm still going to worship you. God, I thank you. And I started just thanking God, and I started rolling off a list of blessings, and I just thanked him and thanked him. And when I finished, you know, I was way ugly. I was toe up from the flow up. I looked horrible. I had cried myself almost numb. And I literally, that's probably one of the, that's the second time that I literally felt an unction that I literally thought I heard God speak. And I knew it was from in my heart. It wasn't audible, but it was in my heart. And I literally could hear my father say, that's the saddest prayer I've ever heard. So I want you to imagine me, ugly face, red nose, you know, toe up, just a mess. And I hear, that's the saddest prayer I've ever heard. So you can imagine in that moment, I was devastated. I'm like, okay, first of all, I'm whining and complaining. So then I get convicted. So then I start praising and thanking, and then I get corrected. So I went from conviction to correction. And I sat there and I sat in my floor with tears coming down my face. And I said, God, what's wrong with that prayer? It's a prayer of gratitude. It's a prayer of praise. It's a prayer of thanksgiving. And the Lord said, Keisha, no. The heart behind that prayer is defeat. And I'm like, God, what are we talking about here? He says, here you are quitting and you haven't even gotten started. Here you are throwing in the towel and settling instead of seeking my face. Here you are gonna be in this place and say, this is it, and be okay with that. He says, I've called you for more. I've created more. I have assigned more to you. This world needs what I've deposited on the inside of you. And I looked around and I was like, Lord, my credit, my life, my education, I'm overweight. I don't even know what I got to offer. And and the Lord said to me, that's the problem. You're looking at what you think you have to offer. And I'm looking at what I deposited on the inside of you. And he began to minister to me. And I was reminded in that moment that God doesn't make junk. He doesn't make a mistake. No, I may not have been a planned child with my mom and my dad, but in the kingdom, there's no such thing as an oops baby. The fact that I got here meant I was wired with purpose. The fact that he had handcrafted and fashioned me in my mother's womb with gifts and talents and abilities that no one else had. That was no accident. The fact that nobody else, the billion of people in the world, nobody else had my fingerprint. Why? Because nobody else could touch the world like Keisha. Nobody else had my iris. Why? Because nobody else could see the world like Keisha. Every one of my experiences, good, bad, and ugly, every mistake, every ounce of progress, every problem could be used for good if I decided to give him my ashes and let him turn him into something beautiful. If I decided to draw a line in the sand and step over, if I got up out of that floor and stopped having a pity party and had an authentic praise party, believing that the God who made me could raise me, that he could change the narrative of my life, that every label that I had allowed to be put on me, and even the ones that I put on myself, could be snatched off. I sat there, a 30-year-old, almost 30-year-old, college dropout, with no money, no car, no job, no clue. And I had an encounter with Jesus that changed everything. So when I preach and I tell people that your past doesn't have to be your future, I mean that. Not because I read it in a book or because it sounds really good and inspirational and motivational. I say that because I'm telling my story. When I say that where you came from doesn't have to dictate where you end up, I mean that thing. Because I had to make some decisions on the eve of my 30th birthday. I had to decide who I would be and what I would do. And that day, I took personal responsibility for how I got to where I was, the parts that were my fault and the parts that were others. I took personal responsibility for how to move forward, what to accomplish, what to do. I took personal responsibility for getting in God's face and seeking his perfect will for my life. Because what I realized in that moment is that I was smack dab in the middle of his permissive will. But it wasn't his perfect will, because his perfect will is on the path to purpose and destiny. And I had drifted. I'd allowed every disappointment, every delay to turn into despair. And I had become discouraged. We know that, you know, when the heart is grieving what could be, it literally, the Bible says it makes us sick. My soul was sick because I wasn't being the best version of me. My soul was sick because I had fallen into the trap of being who I thought I could be and what the world said I could be and what the world said I could have. Instead of crawling up into my Father's lap and saying, Jesus, show me who I am. Show me what's in me. Show me what you've called me to do and make me brave enough to get out here and go do it. That was a determining, defining moment for me. And I remember sitting there and I got a journal and I began to write. I began to dream God-sized dreams. That day, as a college dropout with no money, no car, and no clue, I started to dream. I took God out of the box. I took Keisha out of the box. And I said, God, show me what you see. Tell me the vision that you have for my life. And I realized in that moment, so often we spend time asking God to do stuff for us, but we don't even see. I believe that's why Habakkuk says, write the vision, because you can't write what you can't see. And you have to be able to see it so that you can run after that thing. So that day I asked God to give me eyes to see. What do you see? And I can remember a peace coming over me and a calm coming in that room, and tears of pain went to tears of rejoicing, because on a sheet of paper with a ballpoint pen, God began to reveal the real me. And he said to me, Keisha, here you were about to give up and you haven't even gotten started. Here you are about to give up, and you've not even gotten started. I'm going to end this session here, And in our next series, in the next podcast, I'm going to talk a little bit about what happened that day and what God told me and what God showed me. And I'm going to help us navigate a little further to where I am right now. And yes, I am telling my story, but guess what? Jump into this script. I don't believe you're listening to me because you just want to hear my story. I believe that maybe like me, you're sitting there feeling stuck in a story that you don't believe is your narrative. And you want to get unstuck. So I encourage you, come back next week. Invite a friend. Share this on your social media. Because in this point, that night changed my life. I'm 18 years on the other side of it. And the question I ask myself is, what if I hadn't listened? What if I hadn't gotten still? What if I hadn't asked the questions? Where would my life be? What would it look like? I shudder to think of what would have happened had I stayed in a narrative that I allowed the world to build for me instead of the one that the Word of God promised me. So I want you to think about that. I want you to sit on this for a moment. I want you to ask God right now. Maybe you're on the eve of something. Maybe you're in the middle of something and you need God to speak to you just like I did that day. I want you to ask God to show you you as He created you to be. Not what dripped in mistakes and past, not that version of you, but the version that He says is a masterpiece. The version that He calls His beloved. The version that's packed with purpose that should be in pursuit of a God-ordained destiny. Not just surviving. Not just going through the motions. Not just showing up. But someone who is living their life on max. I know it's available because every day I am living in the fruit of it. And I'm enjoying the benefit of living a life poured out and a life sold out for a purpose greater than my own. So tune in next week. We're going to continue this discussion. But I encourage you, get still with Jesus. Have a little talk with Him and let Him reveal those things to you that you need to know in this moment. So that just like at 30, I shifted that today, wherever you are, whatever season you're in, you can shift as well. So tune in next week to the next part of this. And until then, I challenge you. I am begging you. Do you on max. God bless.